I don't think it's funny. Okay. Thanks for informing me. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, we find ourselves in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. That entire section of verses is one sentence. And it's Paul's informing the Colossians with regard to his prayer for their corporate well-being. All right, let's prepare ourselves by getting ourselves in fellowship. If that's the only time today you got yourself in fellowship, hopefully not, but you never know, you can do it now. God's grace is such. He has provided this way of getting in fellowship, getting back under the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, and getting on track with His plan, which it all begins here with the intake of the Word of God, the mind of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, great is your faithfulness. You provided for us yet again another opportunity to hear the Word of God in this lifetime so that we can be challenged and informed. Thank you for this assembly and bless our time together. In Christ's name, amen. Paul's informing them of the precise content of his prayer for this congregation, and it's equally applicable to any congregation. There's a lot of things you can pray for and should, but this particular prayer is one that can always be offered up in various forms. The prayer was sponsored by the good report that had been brought to him by one of his colleagues. So this informs us all as to what we need to be all about. Nothing could be clearer. This is what Maranatha Church is dedicated to: the communication of the realm of divine viewpoint to positive volition. It obviously can't be done overnight. It is a process, but nevertheless, great strides can be made where individuals are doing what they're supposed to be doing so that they can realize the positive aspect of this prayer. So again, this is a prayer. And he tells them, this is what we have been constantly praying for you in regards to. The only way that Paul could have received information back in that day and time was by some courier, if you will, bringing him news of the status of this church in his apostolic canon while he was in prison in Rome under house arrest. He's still functioning as an apostle and still serving positive volition. For this reason also, since the day we heard about it, that is in the preceding verses, their faith in Jesus Christ, positive volition in Jesus Christ, and their love for all believers. It's a way of summing up the two aspects: the faith that they have in the truth, their living by faith, and the content, and then the application. There are various activities that indicate their love for positive volition. Remember that at this time, around 62 AD, the church age was still young, very young. The apostolic era was in full swing. Churches were being established. People were being evangelized in the Roman Empire. And out of this came local churches of which Paul and the other apostles were active participants. They could not do this alone. They needed assistance. They needed helpers. And Paul had these lieutenants, if you will. That's why he co-authors this book with Timothy, who for the most part was his right-hand man. For this reason also, since the day we heard about it, we have not ceased to pray for you and ask, what? That you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. That's what we're trying to do here. Let people, inform people with regard to the directive will of God, the viewpoint will of God, and so forth. We have not ceased to pray for you and ask that you be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. This is to have this positive side effect, so that you will walk. That's a metaphor for conducting yourself under all kinds of circumstances, in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects. Ideally, a person can please God in every single situation they find themselves in, provided that they have the necessary information and reservoir of information to work from, which you get under face-to-face teaching. And the way we please Him is that we produce divine good. We're individual units that are to crank out divine good, bearing fruit, a verb, in every good work, the whole gamut, and increasing in the knowledge of God. He comes back to, you don't reach an end result with regard to being filled with this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That it works its way back to, you're still bearing fruit, and it's a cycle. It's a cycle from intake, application, intake, application. That's the end of verse 11. Then other benefits. In order to stay on track and to go through a variety of things, inevitably, we have to be strengthened. Strengthened, which we haven't got to a discussion of this, this is inner strength. Strengthened with all power, according to the standard of His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness. Notice the repetition here throughout this prayer of the word all. All steadfastness and all patience, all goes with both of those nouns. And the two words for patience, that in every situation that you may find yourself in, that you stay the course, and that God will give you the strength to see it through, whatever it is, however bad it is, whatever the nature of it is. For people who implode, as I like to call it, spiritually, because something happened to them. You know, it's like, where did you get that? Something bad happened. You don't let anything keep you from what you need to be doing. And bad things are going to happen. Unpleasant things are going to happen. For the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously is literally the preposition with the noun, with joy. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. In the light, excuse me. There is a definite article. Okay. Let's see here where we'll pick up on this. We'll move on into this. Again, on page 12, go there. On page 12, we noted that Paul prays that these believers be filled with this spiritual wisdom and understanding, covering all the topics, all the doctrines, all the information that God has revealed through His written revelation. And of course, as I said, we have a great advantage today in that unlike them, we have a copy of the Bible. We have access to it. You know, and I advise you to get a New American Standard, but everybody has access to the Scripture. Your own personal copy of it. So on your own you can read it, and you can come here and have me break it down for you under my spiritual gift. So verse 10a begins with an infinitive, to walk. Here he uses a metaphor for the Christian way of life as noted. Compare the Old Testament regard to Israelites to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, and to hold fast to Him. That's what you're to do, no matter what. No matter what comes down the pipe. You hold fast to God by holding fast to the truth and abiding by it and being obedient to it and understanding it and doing what you're supposed to do. What God puts in front of you at any time. This is not optional. This isn't just for certain people. But some dummy says, well, that works for you. It works for everybody. And it's for everybody. There is no person in any walk of life that is exempt from this. From the ruler over the nation to the people down in the street. Everybody needs to commit themselves to this who's a believer in Jesus Christ. Don't let anyone try to put that nonsense over on you. To live in a manner worthy of the Lord, point 28, is to think and act consistent with things learned. That's what we're supposed to do. Otherwise, learning truth is not the next step. If you learn any set thing in life that's useful and beneficial, say in your profession or in any other area, you can learn it academically, but you need to do it, obviously. Faith without works thing. To live in a manner worthy of the Lord is to think and act consistent with things learned. Worthy is used in Romans 16:2 in a manner worthy of the saints, Ephesians 4:1 in a manner worthy of your calling, Philippians 1:27 in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, 1 Thessalonians 2:12. You would walk in a manner, his wish for them, you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. We do this down here in a hostile environment, in a negative environment, in a darkened environment. We conduct ourselves differently than the cosmos, or we should. We don't act and think like our counterparts that are out there. We don't imitate them. We follow doctrine and we live our lives, and that's the only way we can be lights. There's something different about that person. They have a stability. They have a grace. They have these various characteristics. And if they meet you over time, they should be able to see this. We have a completely different hope than the rest of these people. A completely different outlook. That's why we are to put doctrine above all other things in life. And if something gets in its way, then that has to go. There has to be a change. Or you'll sink. You've heard that a million times. But you'll hear another million if I'm here. The only other occurrence of this adverb is 2 John 1:6. Send them on their way. This is sending someone off on the road and on a trip, if you will. And he says, not just bye, have a good time, God bless you, God be with you. That's fine too, I suppose. But you send them off in a way, on their way. In a manner worthy of God. What would God do for somebody? You've got the power and the wherewithal to help and do something for somebody in need or to make things better for them. Step up and do it. That gives you a concrete example. The connection between wisdom and understanding, verse 9, and to walk in the Lord is reflected in Proverbs 4, 5, and 6, which I didn't write out. I believe that's good. What is the first principle of divine viewpoint that you could name? What stands first above all other factors as far as being an imperative for believers of all time? Acquire wisdom. Acquire understanding. The acquisition of wisdom personally. Do not forget her. Do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. Wisdom here is personified as a very desirable member of the female species. Hence the name Sophia. Do not forsake her, and she will guard you. She'll take care of you. Obviously, it's God doing the taking care of, and wisdom here is personified. And that's one of the great, wonderful things that we can rely on. You do not forsake the truth, and she'll take care of you. Now, like a perfect mother or something. She will take care of you. And she will guard you. Love her, and she'll watch over you. Love doctrine, and you'll reap the benefits, and she's going to watch over you. People are thrown into many different circumstances in life. But we have the advantage, the big advantage, of God watching over us, guarding us, taking care of us in so many ways. Exploit that and recognize that and cling to that. Also, here in 12 through 14 of the same chapter. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. You're going to have success. Things just never go right for me. Well, what's the problem? When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. And again, this is not just limited to putting one foot in front of another. It's at your activities. You will not be impeded. And if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Guard her, for she is your life. Doctrine is your life. Truth is your life. That's your link to God. And then he goes on, do not enter the path of the wicked. The wicked is a broad category of a lot of people who may not appear particularly wicked. Some appear so wicked it isn't even funny that, you know, I won't name anybody right now. But they are so criminal, so evil, that it staggers and boggles the imagination that they would get any credence in a civilization that has any claim to morals, righteousness, anything. Wow, we really are at the end. We really are, if you needed any further proofs. When criminality rules and it's in your face, and the authorities that ought to check it won't and give it a pass, what does that tell you where we're at? What do you need? You can read about this in the Old Testament too. When Israel got so far gone, all the princes were corrupt. They didn't care about anything but themselves. Bloodshed was shed. Robbery. When the nation got away from God. Okay? Do not enter the path of the wicked. I don't want to be around these people. I have to live in a world they live in. I have to be affected by their decisions in some instances. But I'm not going to be around these people. And do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. How clear can you get? You have a chance to hook up with that? No. And this tells you an insight into these people. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil. You ought to read Proverbs from time to time. It's kind of a tonic. I mean it. It kind of pulls you back. And they are robbed to sleep unless they make someone stumble. They're out there to do harm, not good. Whatever else they say. They eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. That's their food. They're all about killing and hurting and robbing and carrying on in all kinds of unspeakable ways. And we have an entire media system that tries to cover it up. Tone it down. I just find this unbelievable. Having lived through what I've lived through, and we've had rulers that had other problems, clearly. None of them were, free of their issues. But now, it's beyond the pale of even any sense. That's why we're in the last days. And that's why we are Babylon. And that's why we're going down. And we're going down hard. There will be no nation in all of human history that will suffer the exact fate of this country when it's all said and done. That means there is so much evil going on that has never been repented of by the nation to do the reset. Israel did that from time to time. They did the reset button. Got themselves way in deep trouble with God, and they did the reset and got a new lease on life. The Assyrians did it. They were a brutal people. Had to get Jonah there, drag him there. He didn't like them. I understand that part of it. But that was a fun story. I'm glad we got that one in the books. Got that in the bag. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Because we're moving towards that kingdom. It's getting brighter. Even though it's all dark around us and all this is going on, we see the light out ahead of us. We see the restoration of all things and the resolution and the removal of this stuff. And the thing I really like is it's going to be laid bare. So the entire human race can see it. And how they've been conned and used and abused. They're going to get to see it. It's for their good. So by the time they start bailing out of this country, it'll all be spilled out in the open in spite of all the people that try to keep it under wraps. I do believe that. Because I think God's going to put agents here on this planet that's going to tell everybody just how and what has been done. It's only fitting. It is only fitting that the sins of these people come into the light of day. I mean, there's a lot of it out there already, but it's going to come in, it's going to come down hard and wide open. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not even know over what they stumble. They are out there like they are. All right. 32. And to please him in every way is a prepositional phrase at yet another purpose of being filled with the knowledge of his will. To figure out a way, how can I please God in this situation? Pleasing God should be a preoccupation for all of us. The term to please is a noun, indicating desire to please someone. People are out there pleasing people, and that's not always bad. The cognate verb, aresco, is used both for pleasing humans, a good and a bad thing, depending. Paul discusses it. His celibacy about, in one instance there, about, I think he said Barnabas, we're single. We take along a wife, then we've got to please her. Well, he's not talking about catering and pandering. There's a certain amount. You've got to provide an environment, and we don't have that to deal with. That was their niche. And for pleasing God. In all respects, emphasizes the scope of walking in the will of God. Starts with a mental attitude. Everything sponsored from the mental attitude. How do I please God in a situation? The ways to accomplish here this is here listed in four participial clauses in verses 10b through 12. Bearing fruit. Produce divine good. You pleased God. You did that in fellowship. You did it as unto the Lord. You pleased God. We want to know how to please God. Of all the entities and people and things that we could please, how do I please God? And growing or increasing in the knowledge of God. That pleases Him. It pleases Him you're here tonight. And that you're making steady progress in the things that ultimately matter. And being strengthened, verse 11a. All modify the understood subject to walk. Bearing fruit, the compound, to bear and fruit, refers, of course, to divine good production. We are in Christ, not just to, be there, but also to bear fruit, good works. In every good work denotes application of the royal imperatives. Find an imperative of Scripture. It will come to you every day. Go to work tomorrow. Do your job as unto the Lord, not as unto men. Doing your job. Doing it as unto the Lord. Yes, you got things against it. You got people in your face. You got situations that are difficult. You got a sin nature. But we are to do our jobs as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, in all things, do it as unto the Lord. Not as unto men as your first priority, but as unto God. That way you don't have to figure out, I've got to please everybody. You can't please everybody. You've got to do what's right. In order for believers to accomplish this objective, they must be, of course, one, in fellowship. Two, they must apply the imperatives of the Word of God. The directives. And the only way we can even figure out what they all are is to be here in Bible class and be exposed to them. Some verses dealing with good works. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. You don't have to go running around telling everybody. It's a witness of a life. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Here people aren't even positive glorifying God in heaven. How do they do that? By acknowledging that, that person, that's the right way to do this. John 10:32. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me? I really like that kind of stuff. You might not expect that from Jesus, but you got it. Ephesians chapter 2, of course. That one's a good one. 2:10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for the purpose of good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. 1 Timothy 2:10. And this is a discussion about the ladies in the royal family, the positive ladies. Did you study these things specifically addressed to individuals within certain niches and categories? It's free of charge, ladies. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing. Oops. Modestly and discreetly. Not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women making a claim to godliness. A woman must quietly receive instruction with entire submissiveness. Oh yeah, that's a real popular one. And I don't allow a woman to teach or exercise authority over a man, but to remain quiet. Oh, that'll go over real good in our climate today. Me? Not picking on you at all. I'm not picking on you. I'm not at all. It's not the least of my intention. No? I don't expect you to be a little mouse over in the corner either. Sarah wasn't. Sometimes it was appropriate for her to step up. Got that, guys? And tell Abraham to get Ishmael and Hagar out of here. Now, if you looked at that, on the surface, you'd say, yeah, she's still grinding about Hagar and Abraham and back, and she's never let that go. No, it was a spiritual thing she was involved with here. And Abraham was reluctant to do it, but he did it because God came to him and said, listen to your wife. She's got doctrine, dummy. She could come up with a divine viewpoint on something, and you need to give her a hearing from time to time. So I hit both of you here. So you always deal with just the men, the women. No, I don't. I don't have any desire to have. You know, I don't want to see women bullied and carried on with. That won't work good for you over time. That won't. You might, as a man, reassess your approach. Patience, prayer, and so forth. Just trying to help you out, make your marital life happier, and pleasing God, of course. 5:10. This is about a widow, a woman that's lost her husband. He gives instructions. She's not even to be put on the list unless she's 60. That's weird, isn't it? I mean, I'm not saying Bible's weird. I'm just saying it's weird. 60, pick 60. Having a reputation for good works. So he gives a line of things in there. I won't try to go into that this time. It's just a note of good works. And 6:18. And this is the instruction for all you rich people out there. Well-to-do, well-off. You don't have to be, you know, a multimillionaire. Just well-to-do. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited. You're not special because you got money. You really aren't. Or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Because they are uncertain. They come and they go. Ask Job. But on God, who supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good. You got this extra? Think about doing good. That's something for you to pray about. You don't have to run around and look for it. To be rich in good works. To be generous and ready to share. I have known of people in Scripture who are ready to share when they didn't even have much. That was their mindset. This is information for you. This is information for you to take, pray about, and keep your eyes and ears open. And God will bring you opportunities. 42, growing in the knowledge of God refers to that aspect of the Christian walk that concerns itself with the intake of Bible doctrine via face-to-face teaching. We can all grow in knowledge. Three, put another way, it refers to the assimilation of the content of Scripture via teaching in the local church, book by book and subject by subject. 44, growing in the knowledge of God, objective genitive, is an imperative. 2 Peter 3:8, teen. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So that's an imperative, to continue to grow spiritually. We all can, regardless of our spiritual level. I don't know what that other is there. Let me see what I think. Forget that. Okay. Apart from this overt behavior will not be such as to please God. 46. The third participial phrase demonstrating how believers can walk in a manner worthy of the Lord is being strengthened with all power. Okay, what's that all about? Being strengthened, present passive participle of dunamao, refers to inner strength that comes from the indwelling Holy Spirit and the truth within. Ecclesiastes 7:19, wisdom strengthens a wise man. God's already wise. Wisdom strengthens a wise man more than 10 rulers in a city. Interesting insights. Wisdom enables you to do what you otherwise could not do. He provides strength to act in the proper way under various circumstances. It is there for us when we need it, according to the circumstances we may find ourselves in. Hebrews 11:34, from weakness we're made strong. Which could refer to the fact that individuals suffer from certain physical lapses, but for the occasion, God made them strong enough to do something. The phrase with all power refers to the sufficiency of God's power within us to do stuff that would even surprise us. God matches the adversity believers face with the requisite inner strength. Oh, I just can't handle this. This is just too much. Don't say that. That's you, under the weakness of the flesh, saying that you can't handle this. Yes, you can. There is a point at which we might feel like we can't, but once we get it together, through prayer, being in fellowship, we can face that dragon. And we can deal with it. We do not have to fold and give up because we don't know what tomorrow may bring. We don't know what may happen. We don't know what kind of bad news or what kind of thing may happen. We just know that we are going to be given this strength. Ephesians 3:16. Paul's prayer there, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, divine attributes, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. This is a kind of strength that's supernatural. It's in the inner man. It's in concert with the Holy Spirit and the doctrine within us that we can have the strength to bear up under anything and face it properly, not being intimidated, full of fear, and all the usual stuff. The people on the planet today, they're going to step into we know what. And they're going to be ill-prepared. Ill-prepared. But a believer can face anything, no matter how threatening, and face it the right way. God doesn't want us to go into it a basket case. So when you get bad news, or when you see a threat rising on your horizon, you pause, You get yourself in fellowship, and you can take that bull by the horn, and you can do the right thing. You and I, if we've been around the Christian life long enough, probably have been able to do that. And we know it. It was the most awful news we could have gotten almost. We got it. And that enables you to, so to speak, smile in the face of all mankind. God's with me. God's for me. He's got my best interests. He's going to take care of me. If I go down and die, oh, so what? I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to stay with it. So that's the strength we're talking about here. God just gave me the inner strength to do this. When it first hit me, it was like I was punched in the solar plexus. But I got myself together. God wants me to act a certain way now and please Him and do what's right. And it's in my interest to do this. Yes, at first, it's a hard blow. It's devastating. I'm talking about extreme things. You know, not losing your cell phone. I'm talking about big stuff. You ever sit around and think, what could happen to you? I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The militant attitude. What can man do to me? Tell me. Well, they can kill you. They can do this. They can do that. That's what's wrong. One of the things that's wrong in our civilization today, people have no character. They're supposed to be leaders. They're easily blackmailed, bribed, threatened, and they cave. Because there's forces out there that will murder them and their family. Well, they shouldn't have took that position. That's the risk. You do what's right. That's what's the problem today is. They want to do what's expedient. They don't want to step up and do it. Sometimes you ask yourself, why are they doing this? Because they're bribable. They're blackmailable. That's why. They've got a closet full of skeletons. That's what keeps them in line. A believer who faces testing with extreme testing is empowered by his glorious might. I'm going to tell you, it's supernatural. It's like that inner peace thing that surpasses all understanding. It's like, you know, the proverbial eye of the hurricane, where it's just as calm as it can be, and all hell's raging around it. That little eye, that's for you and me. Jesus says, in the world, I give you peace. Not the peace of the cosmos. The cosmic peace, everything's going well, I feel good, you know, my stocks are up, my health is good, I got a good report from my doctor, blah, 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 I've got this, I've got that, everything's just wonderful. Well, you start pulling that away from them, jeopardizing it, and you know where they go. Not us, we don't go there. We don't go there. We have this strength to deal with the worst of the worst, empowered by His glorious might. In other words, it's given according and dished out according to the situation. This phrase places the focus on divine might, kratos. It's spiritual might. That's how we wage war in the angelic conflict. This is how we overcome our sin nature and all these other things. The noun dunamis points to that which is given us to do the will of God. Might, kratos, points to God's ability to accomplish all things through and in us. So we can be a sterling example. Do you see how they handled that? Compare Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And he strengthens you for the occasion and for the moment. 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me in the ministry. It takes strength to do this job. It takes a certain type of strength. Sometimes I get under it, like, I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to face that. I'm human too. But I got to get it together. I got to snap out of that. And come here and face the music one more time. Sometimes in season, sometimes out of season. The human nature, I can read about in Scripture where the temptation is. David says, I just want to go to my refuge. I want to get out of this king business. I want to go back to my cave, back down there in the area where he hid out during that part of his life where he was a hunted man by Saul and his henchmen. I just want to go there. I just want it all over with. I just want to be a bird, you said, and fly away and go to some safe place. This is brought out in certain Psalms. But he didn't do that. And even if a believer does it briefly, you know, the runaway thing, the great Elijah did it. Remember Hagar doing it. She'd just taken so much abuse from Sarah. She sponsored some of it. But Sarah had no right to do this. It was Sarah's idea, for crying out loud. Isn't that funny how people are? Was your idea, Sarah? Now you don't like it, do you? Real funny stuff. I mean, it wasn't funny for them at the time, but it is. All right. He talks about the end of his life. And this is when he dies. This is when he gives his life up. That's when they kill him. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. He had to make a legal appearance before the authorities. He was all alone. He had to speak before presumably Caesar or at least one of his top guys. But the Lord stood with me. There wasn't anybody else standing with him. He said, everybody has forsaken me for one reason or another. Not always necessarily for the... But I'm here in the lion's pit. I'm in the snake pit. I'm all by myself. But the Lord stood with me. If everybody forsakes you and you're positive, hopefully we won't. The Lord stood with me. He had that sense. That's great. That's better than anything you could ever ask. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished. I got one more chance and one more shot at the cosmos. Those who are sentencing me to death, I got another chance to witness. I'll bet you fruit came out of that. I bet you there are people. Caesar had a rather large household, and the household of Caesar wasn't just his immediate kids and wife. It involved his whole household. It was considered a household. And God told him in the beginning, you're going to witness before kings. And that includes Caesar. When I'm ready, I'll put you there. God puts people in places to be a witness. He's put you in a place to be a witness. You've got fellow employees, people working around you, various things. You're a witness. It might not be, you know, any kind of threatening thing. Of course, it usually isn't. And that the Gentiles might hear. He took seriously the deal that his mission was to the Gentile world. This Jewish of all Jewish people, Paul. God takes the most Jewish of Jewish. You couldn't find a better example of hardcore Judaism than Paul or Saul, who became Paul. And he says, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. Remember how, you know, back in his pre-salvation days, all those filthy Gentiles? Those idolatrous, corrupt Gentiles. I'm going to send you right out there to them. And you're going to be there for them. You got to like the way God works. The Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. Ephesians 1:19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? according to the working of the strength of His might. We're not doing this based on our human strength and abilities. We're standing firm against family, foe, friend, whoever might be in our face. And we're standing for the truth. Do not compromise it before anyone. I don't care how much you love them. If you love them, give them the divine viewpoint. If they blow you off, then walk on. Bye. Go elsewhere. The truth is the truth. I've had people try to intimidate me on it, on certain principles. And I remember occasions when they had all their knives out. I remember that as clear as it was yesterday. And I just, you know, at a certain point, a certain peace came over me. What are they going to do to me? This is God's fight. I'll say as little as I need to.
Well, Jack, I think you need to reconsider this doctrine.
My SDA says, I think you need to consider jumping in that lake right there. Because you're all wet spiritually right now. But I didn't do that. Thank God I didn't act like an ass and didn't go off on something. Well, it was a good thing. You know, I mean, there are things I like to say. Now, you're taking issue with the doctrine of right pastor, right congregation? Is that what you're taking issue with? You're turning John 10 on its head? Are you kidding me? But I didn't. All these years, you thought that was great. Now you got smarter than I did. You figured out you don't need a right pastor, or there isn't any one special one. Yeah, you're done in. You're toast. Boy, you could repent of it. You know, you could repent of it. I got taken in. I got suckered in. That'd be the easy way out. You know, the right way out too. But oh no. And it just strengthened me. And I realized, you know, I'm being challenged on this doctrine. And it's a true doctrine. It just reinforced it all the more. That it's just absolutely right. What do you got in its place? Pray tell. Multiple pastors? You jumping up in a pulpit? All this weirdness? No. That isn't where it's at. I got all these verses. I got all this thing to support this. Please. According to the working of His might. Finally, my brethren, 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We'll end on that note. Thank you, Father, for the time together. May God, the Holy Spirit, enlighten us in Christ's name. Amen.